Okay, great. So I'm going to talk today about some work that I've done with our group at the Sociable Media Group at the Media Lab at MIT. I'm calling this Fun, Form, and Function. So we're going to talk a little bit about each of those three things today. So the first project I want to talk about is one we are presenting here at Ars Electronica at Marienstrasse 10. And it takes place, it's sort of a native Second Life soccer game. So you can see here, this is the view inside Second Life. And it's a very large soccer stadium, and you can see the very small avatars are running around the stadium. And there's a ball in sort of the upper left-hand corner. You can see it's bouncing around. So we've got this game in Second Life, and here's what it looks like from the perspective of the avatars. So you can see this crowd of people, and they have red shirts and yellow shirts, and they're running around in this life-size field. But the field also has the large red and yellow characters that look a little bit like foosball characters. I'll show you how those work a little bit later. And these avatars are trying to push the ball. When they run into the ball will shoot a little bit further away and leave that white trail behind. And they're trying to push it towards the goal of the other team. So that's all well and good. We've got this game that takes place inside Second Life. And it's a game that you can play alone with avatars. You don't need to have any sort of real-life involvement to make this game work. But we brought it to Ars Electronica for a reason, and that's that the real-life component is important here, and we've added in this other element. So in our installation space, we have a set of six computers, and people can play the soccer game at the computers. And there's sort of it's a very communal space that people are cheering, people are excited, people are sort of communicating about what's going on in the game, saying, pass it to me, or shoot, and that kind of thing. And that's side by side with an actual foosball table. So we brought a table, soccer table, and people can lean over this table, and they're looking down inside the Second Life stadium. So what they see is this view of the field from the top. So they can see all the little avatars running around, and the avatars all have names floating over their heads, kind of like you've seen people at the festival with the green names. So you can see what they're called, you can see what they're saying to each other, and you can peer down on top and watch the game. But more than watch the game, you can also move the foosball rods. And so the system keeps track of where those rods are and moves the red and yellow characters. So when people are playing, they hold onto the rods and go back and forth just like a real foosball game. But there are some important differences. So you can't spin the rods. You can only push them back and forth. And that's really important because it controls, or it sets the way in which the real life people can intervene with the Second Life avatars. And so in this case, when you're playing the game, you can't actually, as a real player, kick the ball forward. You have to rely on the avatars to do that for you. And so it becomes a collaboration, that as a real-life player, you can move these rods and you can block shots. So if somebody from the other team is trying to shoot on your goal, you sort of try and get in the way. You can block players. If somebody is trying to run towards the ball, you can get in the way with the rods. And you can also hit the ball on the players sideways. So if someone from the other team is trying to run past you to score a goal, you can pull the rod really fast, and they get tossed off to the other side of the stadium. So we see this as more than just a game. We didn't make this just to have a good time, although we do think it is a pretty fun thing to play. But we're interested in a couple of sort of higher-level issues. The first is how we think about connections between real life and Second Life, and trying to understand how we interact with the virtual world. And so the classic way we interact with the virtual world is through the computer. That we sit down, we have a keyboard and mouse, and we have this experience on the monitor. And we're trying to change the perspectives a little bit and put people in different kinds of roles. So when you're in this game, you're looking down and you have this sort of godlike view. You're on top and you have these controls that you can move around, and you can't directly intervene, but you can you have indirect ways of controlling the experience. And it's also about how we place ourselves relative to avatars, that by putting the real-life player's view on top, we're emphasizing the way in which we see avatars as both smaller than us and less important as us, that we tend to devalue the experiences that happen in virtual environments versus those that are in real environments. We also think it's critical the kinds of agency we give different people in these environments, that in this game, this is an experience that avatars can have on their own. They don't need real players involved to have a good time. And when the real players are involved, the role they play is one of interference, not one of productivity. And so when they're moving the rods around, they can help, but only in a very indirect way. The modes of helping are by stopping people from doing things, stopping balls from moving past, stopping people from moving past, or stopping people from moving where they want to go. And we see this as maybe sort of a metaphor for how people tend to intervene in Second Life, that it's maybe not directly productive, that it tends to be sort of meddling a little bit. We sort of try and get our hands in things and get in the way of what is a very native experience to Second Life. People in Second Life have their own communities and have their own environments, and sometimes when we intervene, we don't do it in such a good way. We interfere more than help. And we also kind of imagine an economic role to this, and this isn't happening so much at Ars Electronica now, but we can imagine a system where you have to pay to play. So you can imagine having a table like this in a bar, and you go in and you put in a couple of coins, and those coins go towards hiring a team of avatars to play for you. So you could track the statistics of the goals people have scored and how many games they've played and how much time they've spent playing, and use that to create a roster of people, and you actually have to recruit these avatars to help you. And this sort of emphasizes the labor aspects, that there are people in Second Life who do have jobs, and a lot of them are very skilled creative jobs, but there's also this other subset of sort of zero skill jobs where you literally sit somewhere and get paid to do that. So we're trying to create this sort of middle class that's kind of like athletics in the real life, that you get paid to do this thing that's entertainment for other people, and the payment is sort of way out of scale, that if you put in €1 to play a table soccer game, that's a lot of money to people in Second Life. That they'll sit on a chair for one linden every 20 minutes, but we'd be paying sort of an order of magnitude more money than that. So sort of instantly creating this class of performers and entertainers and athletes. Okay, so that's the project we have here. But at the Social Media Group, we've been thinking more broadly about the role of social interaction in virtual environments. And we sort of think about this as being a question about form and about function. So we sort of started out in Second Life by wandering around like everybody does, and one of the things that really struck us was that the form elements in Second Life are very strong, that when you look at a scene like this, it's very clearly a home, it's very clearly a private place, there's a coffee table and there's chairs, and on the left you can see there's sort of a private office. But there's nothing really about this space that controls its function, that you could do the same things here that you do anywhere else in Second Life. You can chat, you can fly, you can dance, you can sit down on things. All of those are shared among lots of different spaces. So if we look at a space like a dance hall, it ends up looking very different, but it functions in a lot of the same ways. You can still chat. In fact, you can still hear just as far. There's no like loud music that means you have to lean in close to talk to somebody. There's not the sort of dark haze or smoke that means you can't really make people out really well. In a dance club in Second Life, you interact with people, you have the sort of the same functional attributes that you do in someone's personal home. But that doesn't mean that people do interact in the same way. What happens is that people can read the form of the place really, really well. And so they can tell that in a dance club environment like this, with the lights and the sound and the flashing and the sort of multiple levels, all of that says to people, this is a dance hall, you should behave like it's a public space and interact with people. But we think this is a critical distinction, that it is the form of the place that is telling people how to behave, not the actual functional attributes of the place. So we've been trying to think about, as a group, how we can build different kinds of functional spaces that have attributes to them that mean that you interact in them very differently than you would in other spaces in Second Life. So I'll talk briefly about two of those projects. So the first is one about making meeting spaces in Second Life. And the idea here is not to create a boardroom setting where you have a table and you have chairs and a projector and it's all very fancy. And people do that in Second Life. But we're trying to think about what a meeting space would be like if you created a new sort of social vocabulary, where as you move your avatar around on this field that says agree on one end and disagree on the other, could you make a system where people are means something to other people? And then once you have that system, trying to add other kinds of utilities to that. So things like showing how long somebody's been standing somewhere. Have they always agreed, or are they just now agreeing? Showing how they move through the space to show if you looked away and looked back, can you tell now that they used to be somewhere else? Did they used to be disagreeing and now they're agreeing because they moved their avatar? And also creating a history of the conversation. So showing where people were when they said something. And all of this is about really embodying information into the environment itself. And by having those visualizations, you can better understand the social context of the space and what kinds of interactions are happening there. So that's one technique. Another thing we've been thinking about is what it means to sort of own space in Second Life. And one way we've approached that is by thinking about what a profile page on a service like MySpace or Facebook might look like in a Second Life environment. And this again comes back to this idea about social utilities and what kinds of services you'd want to offer people. And so in this particular project, there's this sort of backbone to this building, and you can add on these pods to any point on the building in a regular way that creates these recognizable shapes. And these spaces could be your personal representation in Second Life, and they could be a way that to show who you are, what your identity is, to show based on where you are in the tower. If you connect to people who are your friends, it gives you some information about your social orientation, who you know and who you're close to. And also about communication. You could go to somebody's pod to leave them a message as opposed to just typing a message into the IM window and having it disappear off into nowhere.
So I suggest...
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.